What's up, everybody? Thank you so much for listening to the Here's the Deal podcast. My name is Dominic Kendall, and I will be joined by my co-host Kyle King as we take on a very interesting topic today, one that has taken the world by storm. I know that many of you, the millions that listen, will come here for your news. I'm sorry we couldn't get something out sooner, but we wanted to make sure that we had more information than we had just about a week ago today. And so we have a lot to cover, so make sure that you got your notes, and unless you're driving, please don't do that. You'll be killed instantly. But I'm joined by my co-host, Kyle King. Kyle, how are you?
I'm doing well today.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to buckle up.
Yeah.
It's going to be a ride today.
Or if you're in a car, because it's the law.
Yeah, quite literally.
The law. Okay, let's jump right in. You think Mark Driscoll was right? No, I'm just playing. So we had a situation come up.
And by we mean the whole world.
Yeah, I mean the Christian world has been taken by storm by the by all this stuff going on with Mark Driscoll and John Lindell at the Stronger Men's Conference in Las Vegas.
I don't think it was in Vegas. I think it was in Missouri.
Springfield, Missouri. I was thinking about the guy. Springfield, Missouri, going on.
I'm here to fact check you.
Yeah, thank you. Just last weekend, not a couple days ago, but the weekend before.
What a week.
I mean, I just saw things start coming. I was at a conference, Youth Pastor Summit in Orlando, and started seeing pictures and videos come out about this, and all the headlines were, pastor gets kicked off stage for calling out gay stripper. I mean, I clicked on that thing fast as I could.
What a title.
And then when you see that Mark Driscoll's involved, it was a lot. So to give you some background, James River Church, which is a mega church in Springfield, Missouri, pastored for a long time by John Lindell, had a men's conference that they have many a times, and
It's been going since 2017 at least,
yeah.
So 7-8 years of this.
And at this men's conference, Pastor John had Pastor Mark Driscoll as one of their speakers, which if you don't know who Mark Driscoll is, Mark Driscoll is the lead pastor and planting pastor of Trinity Church in
Scottsdale, Arizona.
He is also who was one of the main pastors at Mars Hill Church for a long time in the early 2000s, late 90s, that famously did not end well there. I actually listened to a podcast about him. Christianity Today put it out. Now, know this, Christianity Today hates Mark Driscoll.
Yeah.
But they did a podcast series called The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill. It's actually fascinating. Talking about that whole entire experience, who Mark Driscoll was, why he was no longer the pastor there, some of the things that happened within the church structure. Actually, to be honest, we've listened to all of that podcast, and we actually, while listening to it, heard some things. We're like, man, we can't ever find ourselves there. We need to make some changes.
Definitely recommend. Like, it, one of the greatest pieces of investigative journalism. Of course, again, go into it knowing there's a slight bias against him, but it's so fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I think it's about 24 hours worth of content. Like each episode, some of the episodes are 2.5 hours long, but it's just, it's intriguing. If it was a book, that's what you call the page turner. You just can't stop. I was just talking with another friend last week and told him about the Mars Hill, before all this came out.
Yeah.
This past weekend, we were just talking about ministry and leadership, and I've recommended, or we were talking about Mark Driscoll, and I said, have you heard of the Rise and Fall of Mars Hill podcast? And he said, no, and I sent it to him, and I talked to him 3 days later, and he said, I haven't stopped listening to it. So
it's a very intriguing podcast. And so, but Mark Driscoll was invited to be at the Stronger Men's Conference. During the time there, the very opening act, they always try to do something that has some sort of manly aspect to it. And this year, they used a young man named Alex, who is now a believer, but had a former life as a male prostitute, stripper.
Yeah, I believe the latter. Yeah.
Yeah. And also an LGBTQ plus stripper. So like there was a man, it was just broken, you know, like it was a man who had a very broken past who was since redeemed, brought out into the arena, was brought out to do a feat of strength test that they said was 2,000 years old, part of a ancient Chinese acrobat show. However, it was not taken well by Mark Driscoll, who saw it as sinful and wicked and what, as he would say, demonic. He would then call out James River Church, and a firestorm would happen. And so I actually have, the morning after the event started, Mark Driscoll goes up to preach and is about to address the crowd. And when he does, he spends about a minute stopping what he was doing, about to preach, and he addresses what happened the night before. And we want you guys to hear it. If you have not already heard it, if you've heard it, just press that skip ahead 15-second thing like three times and it'll take you through it. But if you've not heard this, this is what happened with Mark Driscoll and how he addressed the Stronger Men's Conference.
Careful with this, and it's not what I want to say, but the Jezebel spirit has already been here. The Jezebel spirit opened our event. This is a rebuke and a correction of no one. This is an observation. Before the word of God was open, there was a platform. It was a high place. On it was a pole, an asherah. The same thing that's used in the strip club for women who have the Jezebel spirit to seduce men. In front of that was a man who ripped his shirt off like a woman does in front of a pole at a strip club. That man then ascended. See, our God is not arrogant. He doesn't ascend. Our God is humble. He descends. And then he swallowed a sword and Jesus cried, okay, Pastor John, I'll receive that. Thank you.
And as you see,
or hear,
as he goes through this, he says it's a rebuking correction of nobody. But as he corrects the conference about this, and he brings up this thing, you hear the voice of John Lindell, the pastor, come out and say, Mark, you're out of line, Mark. You're out of line. And he says, you're done. And then it actually happens to where John Lindell jumps on stage. Pastor John Lindell jumps on stage, and he immediately, one, and I think this is overlooked. John Lindell, that stage was pretty tall. I just think it's something we need to make mention of. He jumped straight on that stage, did not walk up a single stair, and he's not a young man.
But he's a stronger man.
Yeah, he is. He learned the Chinese acrobat way. And so here is a little bit of the commotion. It's going to be loud, and so this is
The crowd is in a frenzy at this point. 10,000 so men.
Who are screaming.
Yeah.
And so here's a little bit of the response here as...
Immediately
says,
following the dismissal
yes,
of Mark.
Yes, he says, Mark, you're done. Mark grabs his Bible, walks off stage. John Lindell jumps onto the stage, and he jumps on the stage to boos and to cheers and to so many different reactions.
I wanted to say that. You should have said it to me first. He did Matthew 18. Matthew 18. If your brother offends you, go to him privately. I talked to Mark for a half hour. There was not one word of that. He's out of line. If he wanted to say it, he can say it to me. You may not agree with me. You may not agree with him, but we are brothers in Christ, and there's a right way to handle this.
What do you guys think about this? Drop
your comments. Wow.
And so, I mean, you see this whole thing just hits the fan immediately.
Yeah.
What would happen next is you would have John Lindell would run out into the parking lot after that, stop Driscoll from leaving. They would come back on stage. They would talk about it, and they would have some sort of conversation. Mark would not really apologize ever for what he said, but how he did it.
Mm-hmm.
What then followed, if my timeline is correct, is that on Wednesday, this all happened last week,
sure, yeah,
weekend.
Like, pause right there. That was, as far as everybody knew, that was all the drama that happened over the course of the weekend. That was Saturday of the conference.
Right.
They came back out, looked like there was some sort of unity between the two,
a moment of reconciliation,
that's the word. There was a picture posted on social media, the two of them, thumbs up, we're all
that
good,
Mark
bro.
Driscoll posted.
Yeah. And then everybody kind of figured, okay, that's the end of it.
That's
so,
right.
So we thought.
Yeah, until Wednesday. Really, we got it on Thursday morning, early that morning, that the Wednesday night prior, just a few hours before, that John Lindell at his church, James River Church in Springfield, Missouri, had a special session. I don't know if they already have Wednesday night services, but they had a special session called It Was Filled to the Brim in the Room, where he addressed the events, and he went through a lot of things that nobody knew about that also followed that, including that afterwards, he made it very apparent that Mark did not repent. He said, I'm sorry for the way I said it, but even at the conference, he did not repent. And he was talking with Mark. He prayed with Mark. He said, Mark, I love you. Mark would then proceed in multiple different conversations via text message that John Lindell actually showed to the church and through phone conversations that he would recite to the church, talk about multiple instances where Mark Driscoll would talk to his son, David, and
John's son.
Yeah, John's son, David, because his sons, Brandon and David, are the executive pastors of James River Church. And Mark Driscoll would talk to John Lindell's son, David, and ultimately call him to, hey, listen, I think there's something deeply spiritually wrong with your brother because he watched this act before and didn't find anything wrong with it. He would, I think it's time for you to take control of James River. And he would almost incite a coup against John Lindell and almost try to break up the entire Lindell family. Even after the explanation came down from John Lindell explaining why he had Alex, the performer, who he said, listen, he's a brother in Christ. He's been redeemed. He is a Christian. He is also just skilled in this art of ancient Chinese acrobats, which used a very large pole to show great feats of strength, which is the stronger conference. He swallowed a sword, which is also part of this routine. And he tries to defend this and go, hey, listen, he's a brother. And then he calls him to repent multiple times over multiple offenses and just lists them out. And then says, due to Matthew 18, I tried to go to him. He then tells a story about how John Lindell tried to get Jimmy Evans, a spiritual mentor in the life of Mark Driscoll, to go to him and say, hey, listen, we're going to get a second person to go to you. And then finally said, and he has yet to repent, and so we are going to go to the church. So,
yeah, and so why even bring this up today? We want to... Like, what's the purpose of rehashing all this? So what we're not here to do is, like, bash people, unless that's what Dominic's here for. That's not personally what I'm here for. I know y'all are here for the bashing.
Well, yeah, and that's what they're here for. But we remember this. When we talk, there is great charity in this and going, man, these are two men who are not perfect by any means. And we also remember this, that there's this natural thing for us in this kind of we want to see the gladiators in the arena where we go, Paul would write to the church at Ephesus and remind them that our enemy is not flesh and blood. So in all of this, the enemy is not Mark Driscoll, and it is not John Lindell or this Alex fella who was the performer. They are not the enemies. And so we want to discuss this, talk through this, and figure out a way forward.
Yeah.
And what do we do?
And as I sit here today, almost a week and a half removed from all of this, you know, I personally, I don't know if I come down on a winner and a loser. You know what I mean?
Me neither.
Like, I think there are things we can learn, and we're going to talk about things, but, I mean, I do so with the greatest sense of humility I can muster.
Yeah.
Of just, it's just worth having a discussion, I think, and that's what we're here for.
Yeah. And so let's first off, let's just break it down. If all of this could have just simply been avoided by not having the guy dance and or perform his act.
Sure. And again, so some more context that this Stronger Men's Conference, I mean, it is known for
having some big things.
These big, shocking things. And that's our culture. Our culture, we love to be entertained.
Yes.
It's not a
Are
lie.
Are you entertained?
And like, I think last year, they had Chuck Norris in an army tank on the stage. And then they've had monster trucks, like, jumping over things. And even they've had boxing in the – like, two professional boxers got into a ring and duked it out in front of 10,000 guys.
Do that again. Listen, just from a – we've planned events. We've done things. You know what? I actually have a video from – I have some content that I want you guys to hear. This is Dr. Michael Brown, who is a biblical scholar, and he just talks about this. And he just brings – some common sense to it that I think is probably pretty good. I would love for you guys to hear his take on this, because I feel like a lot of this could have been avoided if we just didn't bring him out. But I thought Dr. Michael Brown had a really good take.
The first thing is, under no circumstances should this man have been performing at the church. As a former male stripper, let's say he's wonderfully redeemed and saved. Okay, beautiful. You don't want to take your shirt off at a conference. Okay, you say, what's even happening at a conference? This was the pre-conference entertainment. Apparently last year they brought a tank out. It's some big church with big budget and a big conference every year. And, you know, maybe your church had the singing Christmas tree every year, and that was your thing. This is a men's conference. You know, that the power team of old, these muscular guys, and all these, they do these amazing exploits, and then they'd share the gospel, and this is the equivalent of it. So they had, you know, monster truck come out, and then there's these acrobatic performers, three of them doing these things like a Cirque du Soleil kind of thing. If you've seen any of these performances, I've never been there, but seen, you know, advertisement here and there. And this guy's part of it. Okay, if they knew his background, former male stripper, under no circumstances do you have him out, even if there's legitimate pre-conference entertainment. We'll put that aside for the moment. Under no circumstances do you do that? And this man, if he is born again now, could use some really good discipling from some really solid, godly leaders. He may be so brand new he doesn't realize things, that if he used to be a male stripper, that you don't want to be performing and you hear it at a conversation, take your shirt off. I don't mean it's seductive to the men. I mean, it's part of your old life. All right, you can do the performance with a shirt on.
And so you see, just like, I get it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I don't know. And this is where I've shifted a little bit. Because first of all, again, I'm not going to admit that I've figured out this guy's entire past either. I know that's what everybody's saying.
Yeah.
I still personally haven't dug into it. But
right.
On the other side of that argument you just heard, I've heard the other side that promotes his art and his skill. So
yes.
I talked about, they've had boxers in the ring. Guess what those men who are boxing do? They took their shirts off. Have
right.
you ever seen people box with shirts on?
Yeah.
No. And so the fact that this guy had his shirt off, it just, they've had guys with shirts off
right.
in the past.
Listen,
at this event.
And I totally get that. And I understand. I also just look at it and go, all right, let's see what we can do. What is something we can do that, you know, we like to do this really manly things. Who do we have? Like, what can we bring on? Well, I got a buddy named Alex. Okay, cool. Yeah, I've seen him around on Sunday mornings. Oh, he serves in the coffee bar. He does. Man, really, really love Alex. You know, he does this thing where we set up a giant pole, and he actually has incredible feats of strength that is attributed to this old way, 2,000-year-old ancient thing. And we go, Alex. Now, I like Alex a lot. He was the male, he was the former LGBTQ plus male stripper who God's redeemed. Yes. Listen, I think what he does is incredible. Dude, I think what he does is incredible. I don't know, man. Listen, I get it. I don't know if that's what we do. I say we go get, who was the guys he mentioned? The Stronger Force? Who was that?
Power team.
Power team. Let's go get them out of the nursing home and let them rip a phone book. I don't know if we bring the former male stripper up with a pole. Like, it's different if he comes up and he's juggling or he's doing backflips or something, but a former male stripper giving him, it's like I redeemed the pole. I don't know if you could necessarily, like, I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
But I also just go, also, you've got Mark Driscoll there. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and again, and I hear everything you're saying, and maybe this is just, it's that healthy, there's two sides of it. Because what I think the argument that was made in defense of what it is, the pole was there first. This ancient discipline,
right.
Like, it is cool if you go see it. Like,
the guy,
if I can somehow say this, he grabs the pole and like lays sideways. Like, so he's like, parallel to the ground,
yes.
And climbs up the pole.
It's an incredible
sideways.
Feat of strength.
And you can see, because his shirt is off, his core working. And he's not out of the world. He's performed on America's Got Talent, Britain's Got Talent, and he's performed at the Olympics.
Yeah.
And as he swallows this sword and then flips upside down and falls, he lets himself free fall to the ground, face first with a sword in his mouth, and stops himself inches from the ground.
Listen,
it's
unbelievable.
Amazing to see. And the show of strength that is. So that's, but I'm like, that discipline of what he's doing has been around for 1,200 years. And
yeah,
the stripper pole is less than 100 years old. And that's what this argument that I heard was saying is we're not redeeming the pole. The pole was, there's nothing wrong. It's the pole. Man has ruined that with these with these erotic dances.
Absolutely.
So that's the other side of it.
And I see that too. I think we also look at this and go, why did we get Mark Driscoll to come to our men's event? You know what I'm saying? Like, I look at this too and go, I feel like there was just like, we're sitting in the room and we go, yeah. But then you have Mark come out and he does his little thing where he addresses it. He did tell Pastor John, he said, man, I couldn't help it. When he's asked why he did, he said, I couldn't help it. The Holy Spirit came over me. Hmm. And, you know, there's some different, in all of that, I look at and go, you had an opportunity to talk to him about it, mm-hmm. and he didn't.
They met for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Before Lindell, on the Saturday morning, Lindell and Mark Driscoll were in the green room in the back, and they were talking. They talked about, what are you going to talk about today, Mark? And Mark did not mention it.
Yeah. And it's hard to. Mark gets out there and he says it. He respectfully hears Pastor John, stops and walks out.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to understand the motive behind it, especially with the follow-up conversations that take place with Mark Driscoll and Pastor John Lindell's son. There's a big talk about the Jezebel spirit. He said there was a Jezebel spirit when Alex was performing, and you know what? Weird thing, maybe a coincidence. He has a book about it that is also being promoted, that he is promoting very hard. And he actually calls it his controversial book from a controversial pastor. He is known and actually touts himself as being controversial,
right?
Which does not help the scenario for Mark that now all of a sudden this happens. And listen, it may have just really been the Holy Spirit that comes over him. But it's also strange that he does this in the midst of a book sale. That's hard.
Yeah, and that's...
That has to do with it.
If you're listening to this and you don't have any of the back context, Mark Driscoll is a controversial person.
Yeah, follow him on Instagram.
Love him or hate him, he is... Yeah. Nobody's neutral about Mark Driscoll.
No.
He is a firebrand. He loves shock and awe. And he has got some good... We're not even saying he's completely wacko theologically. He's got some solid stuff, and he has this especially in with dealing with men. That's why he's a speaker of this men's conference. This is not his first conference. He has preached at this conference before and all over the country and all over the world.
Right. He has a ministry called Real Men. Yeah.
Because he says it like it is. He wears his emotions right on his sleeves. There's almost no filter. And that's why people love him. But
that's also why people hate him.
Man, that can get you in trouble real quick,
And so you have this whole thing where Mark calls him out on stage. And to be honest, it needed to be... It's hard. Did it need to be addressed? Did it need to be... I think wherever you fall on the whole thing, Mark Driscoll probably doesn't know this guy, sees it, and is really unbelievably shocked by it. And one Google search will show you this young man's life.
Mm-hmm. And what he said, again, from his own words that day was, he said, this is just an observation. He said, this is what I'm seeing. And again, put yourself in his shoes. This is his platform right now. He's talking about this Jezebel spirit. That's what he's doing. He just wrote a book about it. So he's hypersensitive to these types of issues.
Yep.
And he sees that, and he just puts two and two together in his head and feels like he needs to call it out in the moment. That's what he did on the stage that day.
And then John Lindell hears it, jumps on stage, and almost immediately goes, Matthew 18.
Yeah.
Matthew 18.
Yeah, let's camp out there for a bit.
Does Matthew 18 apply here? I think that's a great question.
Yeah.
Hey, read Matthew 18. And then does it apply here?
So this is Matthew 18 is in the midst of Jesus talking about a lot of different things. But this particular section of verses is talking about how do you deal with sin in the church among believers? So
right.
So what can you do? So this is Matthew 18 starting in verse 15. Jesus says, if your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, so that's step one. Step two, if they do not listen, take one or two others along with you so that every matter can be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Okay, so that's step two.
Right.
Step number three, verse 17. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. So this is that section that everybody's talking about. It's how to deal with, and this is church discipline.
Right.
Man, this is tough. This is one of those teachings of Jesus that slaps common sense in the face because this is not the easy thing to do. The easy thing is to air your dirty laundry to everybody.
Right.
So this is a step that says, hey, no, you don't do that. If your brother sins against you, you go to him.
Right.
So how does that relate to this conversation?
And I would look at these and go, I don't know if Matthew 18, 100, and it's hard.
Yeah. Did
it's not a personal offense against?
Did John Lindell personally sin against Mark?
No. Now listen, if we say, hey, listen, Kyle's been running his mouth about me, saying terrible things, and slandering my name. He has sinned against me. I need to go talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm at a conference and I see something I disagree with, and the pastor's not sinned against me. The organization hasn't sinned against me. I'm making an observation that what we've seen is wrong. I don't necessarily think that Matthew 18 comes into effect here. But I look as Christian brothers. Mark knows that if he says this, it is going to be a firestorm.
Yeah.
He's done it too many times. I don't know if you and what do you do if you're Mark Driscoll, you got 30 minutes before you're about to speak and you say, hey man, I really didn't like what I saw yesterday. I felt like the Jezebel spirit was here and he was part of this. And like it was like this terrible darkness.
You mind if I go out there and share that?
Hey,
with
can I go, you mind if I mention that? They're not going to be like, yeah, man, just go do it.
Right.
And so I've seen on both sides of the thing, people going, man, he should have said something to him. I mean, at least talk to him. I've also seen other people go, not a chance. You've got to say
something. And man, it is tough. And so that John Lindell was crying Matthew 18, basically just saying Mark should have talked to me first. So I think I saw the fact that I don't even know if Matthew 18 applies, but
I think
still the question of should he have talked to him first.
Yeah, I don't think that he was in violation of church discipline.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think he's in violation of that. I just think you should have talked to him.
Let's just call it what it is. When Lindell gets up and gives his response, He also did not follow Matthew 18, because if he felt like he was just offended against by Mark, he got up and called out Mark in front of 10,000 people.
Yeah.
So,
and told him he was out of line. He didn't say, "Hey guys, we need
tables have turned."
Amen. And you know, do you take a break there? How do you handle that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
And so I mean,
and it's also hard too. John Lindell said, even in his thing, that they did not get one email, they did not get one phone call, they did not get one person talking to their team after Alex's performance the night before. No one said a word. They did not get any social media pushback. They did not get anything. But the moment Mark steps up there, people are screaming, "You're out of line, Pastor." Mm-hmm. I mean, and if you listen to the audio, the anger and vitriol of just people screaming at the top of their lungs with anger and rage about something they did not get angry and rage about before.
I'm pretty sure they had pitchforks.
Yeah, it's just the whole thing is messy. And so I would fall on, if it was me, gosh, if you're Mark and you want to address this, you don't talk to the pastor, because you're not going to get the opportunity to say it on stage.
So, well, that's what I get. So now, in the days since, there's just been, I mean, every person with a platform and a microphone has been just breaking this down, and I've tried to listen to as much of it as I can from people that I respect, and everybody's pointing out great points on all different sides. So that's why I said we just want to present the stuff, and in the end, we want everybody that's listening to make up your own minds and hopefully learn from this. But the one thing I heard was, what were we just talking about? I lost my train of thought.
We were talking about that he shouldn't have talked to him, or he should talk to him, and everybody was getting mad.
Yeah. So what I heard somebody point out was, if Mark did truly believe that this was a word from God that he was supposed to share, you don't ask permission for that. You know what I mean? Like, that's what this person was. I'm not saying that's right, but that's what this person that I listened to was saying. And it was a point that I hadn't thought of was since when do we ask permission to speak what we believe the Lord is asking us to speak?
Yeah.
You speak it, and then you deal with the consequences. I mean, Mark, again, very well knew this could be the last words he ever says at this conference and is never invited back. And he's willing to do that if he believes that's what the Lord is saying.
Right.
But that's, again, if you're in that position, what do you do? Because, again, you know, and we don't know if Mark had this process, but you can assume maybe he thought, if I ask Pastor John and he says, no, I can't share that, then what do I do?
Right.
And so he just chose not to ask and just did it.
And so if that was an isolated incident, we go, man, I don't know. This is such a divisive thing in the sense where you go, you think, I don't know, man, that dude's got some incredible strength. Let's see what he does. I mean, it's an ancient art. I look at it and go, dude, I just think from a planet perspective, you don't lose anything by putting somebody else or getting another monster truck.
Was there no one else in the world that could do that?
I mean, yeah. I mean, because here's the deal. You're promoting this man with his name and promoting him. Oh, my goodness, dude, I've never seen anything quite like this. Let me search out this dude because I want to show my kids. Because that's what I do, man. When I go see something and I find somebody who does something I'm shocked by and I go, dude, that's incredible. I want to Google that person, see more videos of what they can do. And all of a sudden I go, oh, God. And you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so you see that. You see the handling of it. But if it would have just stopped there, it'd be one thing. It's another thing for it to go on to the places in which John Lindell and his team at James River depict, and as they talk about it on that Wednesday. And so that's one of the things that I think, we just have to – there were moments in – and I encourage you to watch. It's on the James River YouTube channel. It's 38 minutes long. It's in depth. It is well presented. No matter what, he did a great job presenting it.
Yep.
Talking about text messages that were sent – that were divisive, that Mark Driscoll would say, Pastor John, I love you. I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to love you and your family. I'm so grateful for you. But then would go out right behind his back to his son and destroy him. He would go out to his son, David. Mark would go to David and he would talk to him. He would call out his brother and say, your brother, Brandon watched the entire thing, did nothing about it, and then would accuse him of dark evil sins because his brother watched the Alex performance and didn't do anything about it. And so it goes off the rails a little bit. He begins to say that James River is different now. It has a Jezebel spirit. And everything goes back to the Jezebel spirit, that and just starts destroying James River and begins to sow seeds of disunity among the family and the staff of this church. Mark also has almost a Trumpian type feel to him, yeah, that he has a faithful following that, and a lot of people began calling James River Church and threatening their staff, threatening their receptionists with death threats.
Yeah.
They had to shut down the switchboard. I believe they're part of the Assembly of God. Mm-hmm. And so they had to shut down their switchboard. And you know, John Lindell, you don't do this unless you're telling the truth in this. Like, you don't come out and go, here are the text messages, here's everything that's gone on. Because if this isn't true, then that would mean Mark has the right text messages, you know? So, like, it's not like they're just stabbing in the dark to try to smear Mark.
Right.
They have proof and information about this. And it seems as Mark has gone to destroy and divide a church and a family that he just told them, I'm not going to do anything except pray and I love you.
Yeah. So we're talking, this is why it's so complex, is there's layers of things that have happened here. So right, everything we've been talking about was the event and yep, the conference and what happened. And that's almost a whole separate issue
right,
from then what happens afterwards, the days following, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, leading up to this Wednesday night thing. This is a whole separate discussion of who's doing, and really, again, as we sit here today, we've only heard the one side.
Right.
Mark has been silent, as
he
far as we know,
silent,
since publicly, since Sunday.
Wait.
So we may have it to be continued, but yep, as you just said, Dominic, based off of Wednesday night and Pastor John bringing this, not in, just in front of his church, but in front of the entire evangelical world who was actively yep, watching this with popcorn, and lays out every private discussion that has happened between Mark Driscoll and their family, and it's terrible. If what he says is true, this is, yep, I mean, so I'll be honest, after the events happened, I almost sided on the side of Mark. Just in that context, I was like, when Pastor John got up on the stage and kicked him off, I said, well, that was kind of harsh.
Yeah.
Whether or not Mark, and then now all this other stuff has come out, and I'm like, wow, well, maybe now I don't know anymore.
I know. Is it John? I mean, maybe Mark was, but here's the deal. Is it possible?
Since what's happened, again, almost as a separate incident, since what's happened, if everything that Pastor John said on Wednesday night was true, that's just not Christ-like behavior from Mark. To sow division and to lie multiple times, like just yeah, physically say, I'm not going to talk to anybody else in your family, and then an hour later go text, like, did he think that we're not going to talk to each other? It's yeah, a father and son.
And they're on staff.
And just sows all this division and starts slandering the whole church and personal people and all these attacks. That's just not Christ-like at all, right, and I think we can stand on that.
Yeah.
But and that's maybe half of the things that Pastor John has asked Mark to repent for is everything that's happened in the days since.
Right.
And again, there's no as far as we know, no public admission of guilt.
And one of the things, too, is that he did, after the fact, destroy Alex by saying what he is demonic.
Mark
what
did.
Mark destroyed Alex, the performer, who John had called Mark and had a conversation with him saying, no, he's been redeemed. Like, he's a follower of Jesus now. And Mark just would not get off the point of what his past held. And all this, even when we're talking about this, you can go back and forth with the ebbs and flows. I think when you call, if Mark felt very passionate about something in that moment, and I don't think that in that moment what was happening was necessarily sinful.
Right.
What Alex was doing was not sinful.
No.
He was not stripping for the men. He
right,
took off his shirt, and that's part of the ancient thing. He swallowed a sword, like that kind of stuff.
It's a show. Performing.
It is. He's an acrobat.
Yeah.
I don't think that was sinful. I think Mark probably did what many other people probably did, and they Googled him, saw that, and he saw what it looked like, and he made his feelings known.
And it wasn't just, I mean, he said that he had his whole team, Mark had his whole team digging up dirt on this guy, and that's what they kept, that's part of what he kept sending to John. But I think it's important to mention too that, you know, Pastor John stepped into, in this conversation with Mark through the week, said, again, this man, this performer, Alex, he is a brother. I'm going to defend him as a brother in Christ the same way I defended you. What we haven't mentioned yet is that when Mark fell from his huge platform at Mars Hill, that church collapsed. Who was there to help him recover? It was Pastor John.
Who These says guys it multiple have a times. History. They have a multiple, and he says it multiple times that you let me sleep on your couch.
Yeah, like Mark was at the lowest point in his life, and Pastor John
was there.
Was there to help him and help restore him. So these guys have a
deep
tie,
history,
and that's stuff we can't even begin. They get into it a little bit with each other about some of their history, but we can't begin to know the impact these two men have had on each other and the close relationship they have, which makes this all the more sad, really. Yeah.
I mean, because this is not just a one-time, this is not a promoter and,
right.
and an event.
And we hadn't mentioned
these
that
are,
yet.
These are brothers who are friends, who have been through war and battle together, who have helped each other through their darkest moments, even if they're brought on themselves, through some of their darkest moments. And so it's just... It's hard to do. It's hard to look at, especially from people from the outside looking in, watching this. I think about the unbelieving world who has seen this, who wants this to take place, and there's a call to repentance. There's silence from Mark Driscoll. There's the call to don't follow him or listen to him if he does not repent. All of that kind of stuff, and so you know, I think this shows us a few things. One, we shouldn't be afraid to if we feel like the Lord's calling us to do something or say something, we need to be careful. One of the things that I feel like Mark doesn't do very well is he's not very careful in his presentation. Mm-hmm. He'll just say things, even if how he says them can lose a brother instead of win a brother. Mm-hmm. We need to be very careful. I think it's just sensitive and walking in the Spirit to go, God, how do I communicate what I feel to be very strongly about? You know, I think about our Facebook warriors who are on here who will go to those keyboards and they will destroy people or things with their keyboards. I think if Mark saw that this was something sinful and he says something, I think you just have to be careful. Like, he called it out, but even what he called out, I think Mark called it out. He was not correct in his assumption of this. And and he says, God told me I need to say this. The man wasn't stripping. The man was doing an ancient act. And so now you have people listening to Mark Driscoll say, God, thus saith the Lord, God told me I have to say this. This is uncomfortable for me, but it must be said. Here we have erected this pole that is a sure pole, and then we had a male stripper, a man who took his shirt off like a stripper and like women would do to men and all this kind of stuff.
He made it something it's not.
He did, without ever asking.
Yeah.
And so I look at John, I think we can learn. Dude, there's always other sides to a story. He said he's been up since 1 a.m. praying for these people. You're tired. You don't have your wits about you. Should they have done this with a former stripper? No. I would say if I'm in that meeting, I go, let's kick it. Let's get Chuck back out here.
Yeah.
But Mark was out of line in calling and ascribing to this. God, I mean, I've been praying for you guys, and I just couldn't do it. And then telling Pastor John, the Holy Spirit told me to. I just think this continues to sow confusion.
Yep. So there's another kind of on that train of thought. So people could ask, well, what else could have been done? And so this is another argument that I've heard was presented is you do have that conversation one-on-one with John, not because of Matthew 18, but just because that's you don't make a firestorm out of this if you don't have to. You talk with Pastor John about this.
Yeah.
If Pastor John does not agree with what you're saying, then what Mark does in that moment is he refuses to go out and do his speak.
Right.
He says, well, I'm not going to be a part of this. If he truly held that conviction that strongly, He could have removed himself from the situation. There would have been some confusion as to why Mark wasn't there, yeah. but the conference would have gone on, and then you make some sort of statement later explaining your thoughts right. as to why you personally did not feel you could continue with that conference.
Right.
So that, and again, in the, that sounds great to me. Maybe that would have caused a firestorm too. Yeah. I don't know, but
yeah.
It was an option.
It
and hindsight's 20/20.
Exactly. We are Monday morning quarterback in this deal.
Yeah.
And but it shows us this, a couple things. One, that we need to be careful in how we deal with things like this. How we deal with them matters almost as much or more than what actually takes place. If there's something that we feel strongly about, which we're in 2024, everybody feels strongly about everything.
Ooh, yeah, we do.
There's nothing that's neutral anymore. It's you either love it or you hate it. And so that we need to be more calculated in what we understand, what we, and also what we ascribe to be the Spirit of God. You know what I'm saying? I think we have to be careful because it can be so confusing. And so all of this is sowing nothing but confusion and strife and discontent, this entire situation. And so I think one thing that John Lindell said was he said, your heart should not be hurt by Mark Driscoll, but your heart should hurt for Mark Driscoll.
Yeah.
And if these things are as they've said, and Mark has done these things and said these things and tried to sow division, yes, he should repent and he should be brought back. But if they aren't, then the ones at James River, those people should be brought to the carpet on this. But all this does, and I hate it, it just sows so much confusion. And yeah. I just think of people who are interested in Christianity, who've been watching James River, who's been watching who's been watching Mark Driscoll's page, are interested in Christianity, look at this and go, what is this? And I think about Alex in this, who, if he's been redeemed, he's been made new in Christ, a young believer who has the, I just think about, what does this do to him? To now his past that Jesus has redeemed, that he no longer remembers, like that he is cast into the sea of forgetfulness, you know, like his sins are no longer remembered. He has been made clean. When God sees Alex, he sees the resurrected Jesus in his blood. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And now he goes, I can't even walk. Now, it also shows us this. Sin has consequences. I mean, it does, and it follows, and that's
sure.
part of the enemy trying to destroy. But,
yeah.
Man, I think about him as well, having a popular pastor who has a huge platform. Tell me I have the Jezebel spirit, and I am the Jezebel spirit. I am the thing that's driving our church insane, and I'm the one who's bringing darkness to our church.
Yeah,
and I think about that and the power of the tongue. And the power of what Mark said without being informed.
Yeah, I think one word that sticks out to me in all this is like, it's like wisdom and discernment. Yeah. Like you can have all these thoughts in your head and on a side note, like again, one thing I take from this is, you know, if you're out there listening, pray for your church pastor, pray yeah. for your church leaders, because again, this could have easily happened to any other church. Why it blew up so big is because of the magnitude and the size of these churches.
Yeah.
But I think this calls for wisdom in the, I mean, where do you, is it worth bringing up the discussion of, is this why, do we just go on and not ever have any events again? Like, let's admit, forget this particular act.
Yeah.
What if we just got back to like making church what it's supposed to be about? Or if you want to get to, let's get to the yeah. gospel first. Like, is there some sort of caution flag here of like, stop trying to entertain, out entertain the world?
Well,
I'm talking to the student pastor.
You can never out entertain the world. I do think right. that I do think that the ability to do art and the ability to do things that honor God is good. Like being able to use your giftings to honor God is good, and I think that that's okay. I think that there are things that you can do. Like, I mean, I look at Jesus.
Like, where's the mission board? Like, yeah, we just get together. We could have had a prayer meeting on Friday night instead of watching.
We don't need these
and
people.
Monster trucks. Yeah. Like, there's going to be that argument, is what
there
I'm
is.
Saying.
And
is
I
this
go,
is why we don't have tanks and monster trucks, and we just need to get together and sit around and pray and close our eyes and
I go,
read the Bible
I go,
at men's conferences.
Awesome. I mean, Jesus did some pretty cool stuff. I mean, if you're looking at his ministry, the whole
hey, Lazarus, get up. I mean, just leave him and just let's just talk about the Torah and how you actually are the fulfillment of the law. You don't have to do all the showy stuff, okay? If you got him, you got him in eternity. I think of, you know what? All these people are hungry. Watch this. And
well, it's also Jesus showing his divinity.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I but he also does these things, and he does these great wonders, and he does these signs and wonders so that we would believe. And we bring these things in, and we go, do these artistic production-type things help in the communication of the gospel? If I say we've got incredible feats of strength, I don't think I'm necessarily walking in disobedience to the Lord by promoting that. And a dude goes, man, you know what? Man, would love for you to come with me to this men's conference as we, I've been faithfully sharing Jesus with him. I invite him to come to this men's conference with me. Dude, they're going to have some cool stuff there. Chuck Norris is going to be there. Dude, why don't you come with me? I'll pay for it. Dude, that was incredible. Dude, do you see them do that? And then they hear the gospel and repent and believe, you know?
Yeah.
Dude, why don't you come see this Jesus, dude? I mean, he's healing people. He's making the... Dude, there was a dude who was brought in on the mat that he made him get up and leave. Mm-hmm. And come and see this Jesus. You know what I'm saying?
Come and see. That's good. And I don't disagree with you. I'm just throwing out that side of the argument because, it's... Again, whether you love it or hate it, I think that is part of our culture, and churches can use these... methods to bring people in. And again, that's not to advertise for like this seeker-sensitive church environment where it's all about giving people what they want. But remember, this is not a Sunday morning church service. This is a conference men.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, if that's the drawing point that gets somebody in the door, and let's not forget, out of 10,000 men that were there, from what we heard, there was about, what, 300 or 400 men who made professions of faith at this conference.
Which is
conference,
huge. Like, which is eternity cool. was changing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it leads us to walk in wisdom and discernment more. That when we walk through, when you're offended by something or something happens, we are so shoot ready aim on everything that we do that we don't. I mean, I think about people too who don't like the way, like, you just draw so many conclusions about people. Without having any background or knowledge. Goodness gracious, you see a picture with me and Stephen Furtick tomorrow, like if me and Stephen Furtick were having our arms around each other smiling, people would call me a heretic. They didn't know anything about me.
Yeah.
They would just destroy me, right? I would have people who would destroy me to the nth degree because they're like, well, you're with a heretic. You must have bad theology. I guess you're a false prophet going to hell. And I think we're so shoot ready aim, and we do not seek truth. We do not seek understanding. We just see, if we don't, we take one side and then we destroy.
Yeah, James 1:19, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry.
Yeah. I mean, by Monday afternoon, everybody had already formed their opinions, and then the new information comes out and everybody's like,
that was one of the things, Pastor James's final point at that message Wednesday night was he called on everybody to repent. he said, everything he listed out, the five things he wanted Pastor Mark to repent for. And then he said, for anyone who has already formed their opinions and shared a bunch of misinformation, he said, I call on all of you all to repent on the same programs and platforms that you have shared these misinformation things. So it's a lot.
It is. I'm anxious to see how this goes. Does anything ever come out of it? Does Mark ever say anything? Does the people at Christianity Today create an additional episode to the rise and fall of Mark Hill? Episodes of this. And so I think we pray for Mark. I think we pray for John. I think we pray for those men who are those 300 plus men who are now new believers who now have to wrestle with what they saw. In the God who does not divide but unites, and that we all claim Jesus, and now you see two brothers fighting, and you go, my prayer is that they just do this well, and that they honor the Lord in it well, uh-huh. and that in this, what the enemy means for evil, that the Lord use it for good and for glory and for the edifying of the church.
Yep.
And if that's not the road that's going down, that he would just shut it down.
And we remember what you said earlier. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, and that the enemy is having a heyday with this. And so we keep our eyes on Jesus. This is why we don't put our faith in mega pastors or mega churches.
Yeah.
Our faith is in Jesus, and we hold on to him, and we try to honor him, and we walk as humbly as we can as we move forward.
Yeah, Mark Driscoll's not the enemy. John Lindell's not the enemy. Joe Biden's not the enemy. Trump's not the enemy. Stephen Furtick's not the enemy. These people are not the enemy. We pray for them.
Talk about potential division in an election year. Like, this is just a microcosm of what our nation is right now. So.
And so we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to know our enemy, know his ploys and his plays. And then we need to fight and strive as his church and as his people for unity. We need to be united. We need to be more than ever before his church be united. Cause man, divided, his church does not, his church is not effective when we're going at each other.
Yeah.
We are known, God's army is known as the one that famously kills its wounded. And we want to be the ones that support and help and pray for. And so stay tuned. Maybe there's another episode of this, a follow-up maybe that comes out of this. Any last words?
Be a people,
I'm not going to kill you.
Be a people of prayer. Let's go.
Yeah, be a people of prayer. Pray for John Lindell. Pray for Mark Driscoll. And man, we're hoping that we get some clarity in the days ahead, that we see in something that just really honors the Lord in all of this. We'd love to hear from you guys. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Know that we love you. We're thankful for you. And we hope that we've honored the Lord in the way that we've talked and we've spoken about this. Share this with somebody else that maybe is walking and wrestling through all this as well. And like always, thanks so much for listening to the Here's the Deal podcast.